Serving Columbus for over 60 years. AM 1580, WVKO Columbus.
You've been listening to Fight Back, produced in part by the Columbus Free Press and Talk 1580 WVKO. Join Dr. Bob again next Saturday at 11 a.m. and be ready to fight back.
Your one true voice of reason in Central Ohio, AM 1580, WVKO, Columbus.
You gotta fight for your right to work.
If you like to party, and who doesn't, you know that sometimes stuff happens. Stuff like assaults, drugs, DUIs. Connie Goodell Newton understands. She's not here to judge anyone, just to provide the best legal representation possible. Facing criminal charges? Connie takes very special care handling her criminal cases and works hard to ensure that her clients receive the very best results possible. Do you have a record? Connie is very familiar with the new expanded expungement statute. Got warrants? Connie may be able to keep you out of jail. Connie also handles domestic relations, mediation, and bankruptcy cases. Call Connie Goodell Newton at 307-9783. Connie welcomes clients from diverse communities, GLBT, African-American, activists, students, and more. So party on. Just remember, if you get just one phone call, take it to Connie Goodell Newton at 307-9783.
This is Connie Goodell Newton, and I will fight for your right to party.
Meat Packers Outlet, Columbus's good old-fashioned retail meat market. For the best deals around on all your meat purchases, visit Meat Packers Outlet at 317 South 5th Street downtown. Meat Packers Outlet is family-owned and operated and has proudly been serving Columbus with fresh-cut meats since 1957. Meat Packers Outlet has daily low prices on beef, pork, poultry, and deli items.
This week's specials include smoked turkey wings or necks for just $2.99 a pound. Virginia baked ham is just $2.99 a pound. Pork spare ribs, $2.19 a pound. And a 5-pound bag of chicken drumsticks, just $5.99.
Need a deli tray for your next get-together? Call ahead and order yours now at 469-1720. That's 469-1720. Open 8 to 6, closed Sundays. Meat Packers Outlet, 317 South 5th Street at East Main, downtown. Don't forget, there's always plenty of free parking in the back. Locally owned, independently owned, Meat Packers Outlet. Call 469-1720.
A Woman's Touch Tree Care.
Timber!
The ash borer is wreaking havoc on yards all over Central Ohio, and they have to come down. Are you in need of quality tree care? Then we know who to call. A Woman's Touch Tree Care. They can handle it all. Tree removal, thinning, deadwooding, brush cleanup, stump grinding, storm damage, trimming, shrub care, and just about anything you need done for landscape management. See what A Woman's Touch can bring to your tree care. Brandy Mobley, proud owner of A Woman's Touch Tree Care, brings quality service, quick response, and very reasonable rates to the business of tree care and landscape management. Here's what one satisfied customer has to say.
I called several companies to schedule estimates, and half of them didn't even return my calls. Brandy Mobley called me back the same day. She was thorough in her estimate, and it was very reasonable. She explained ways that I could save money on the removal. Her honesty was greatly appreciated.
Ever wonder what A Woman's Touch can do for a tree service company? Let Brandy show you. Call 614-732-1061 to schedule your free estimate. That's 614-732-1061.
How would you like to have your garage back? You know, so you can actually get your car inside? Why not make room by storing all that stuff you have in the garage at Morningstar Mini Storage of South High? Morningstar Mini Storage offers clean, safe, secure storage units in sizes up to 10 by 30. Or make Morningstar Mini Storage your garage. You can store your car for just $39 a month, or any size boat, RV, or trailer for just $49 a month. Or take advantage of their new special, a 5x15 or 10x10 unit for just $69 a month. Find their online coupons at MorningstarMiniStorage.com. Morningstar Mini Storage has convenient 24-hour access 7 days a week, a state-of-the-art security system, a moving van, and packing materials too. Morningstar Mini Storage, 3391 South High Street at Williams Road, just north of I-270. Call 497-0000 or visit them online at MorningstarMiniStorage.com. Morningstar Mini Storage of South High, 497-0000.
The mills closed out their excess fall inventory. We've got the flooring, and we're selling it at unheard-of prices at Lumber Liquidators' first-ever fall flooring yard sale. Get laminates from only 29 cents a square foot. Prefinished hardwood from just $1.39 a square foot. Bamboo flooring from just $1.79 a square foot. Plus, special extended financing. If you liked our famous April sale, you're going to love our first ever fall flooring yard sale. These deals will not last. Sale is going on now. Visit LumberLiquidators.com for your local store.
You know that feeling when something starts to break and instead of properly fixing it, you turn to your old friends Duct Tape and Mr. Zip Tie to jerry-rig it for a few more miles? You know that feeling, right? No, you don't. That's why Valvoline Max Life is for you. At 75,000 miles, engines need extra protection so small problems don't become big ones. Unlike some motor oils, Max Life specifically fights the four causes of high mileage breakdowns. Even Jerry agrees that jerry-rigging an engine is not a good idea. Switch to Valvoline Max Life now or switch engines later.
For top quality flooring at great prices, make the logical choice. Logical Flooring. Why drive all over town visiting showrooms when Logical Flooring will bring their warehouse to you? Logical Flooring offers laminate, wood, hardwood, tile, vinyl, and Armstrong flooring, plus a huge selection of carpeting. Logical Flooring delivers a great selection of flooring products and installation services with no gimmicks, just great prices. Actually, their gimmick is their great prices. But don't just take our word for it. See what their many satisfied customers are saying by checking out the testimonials at logicalflooring.com. Family owned and locally owned with over 20 years experience, Logical Flooring is also a progressive-minded Christian-owned business. Just off I-270 and Harrisburg Pike at 3455 Center Point Drive, Unit I. Or just stay home and have their hands-on owner come to you. Visit LogicalFlooring.com or call 679-6408 today for an appointment. Logical Flooring, 679-6408.
You've tuned in to the Blue State Diner with your host, Michael Allwood. Want to weigh in? Call the studio line at area code 614-821-1580. And now, here's Michael.
Yes, indeedy. We are here, and thank you, Rick Shepherd, for the intro there. Roy Turner, right-hand man, associate producer at my side. Roy, how you doing?
I'm all right. How you doing?
Doing pretty good, actually. Great weather we're having.
Beautiful.
It's gorgeous. It's unbelievable. And, you know, I was outside the other day, and I looked over to my left, and there's some big hedges there that bloom in the spring, these beautiful pink flowers, and the dadgum thing is blooming.
Mm.
And I'm thinking, no, there's no climate change problem. We have dandelions blooming in the alley back here, in Mark's vegetable patch back there.
Okay.
There are dandelions blooming right now. Yellow dandelions are popped up. It is November, for crying out loud. It is mid-November, and there are dandelions blooming in the alley. There's something messed up. So let me tell you what we've got coming up on the program today. We're going to be talking to Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, also of the Green News Report, which debuted on WVKO this week. The Green News Report, Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen do that and do a very good job at it. We want to welcome them to the WVKO family. And I'm also going to play something I never got a chance. We got so busy last week, if you recall, Roy, mm-hmm. That I never got a chance to play my interview with Al Franken,
right,
who is currently a senator from the state of Minnesota. He was also one of the pioneers of progressive radio back in the day when he had a program on Air America. He's also, of course, was a longtime writer and performer on Saturday Night Live. And he rarely does radio interviews. And as a matter of fact, he called me on Election Day. And yesterday, I was thinking, you know, the audience never got a chance to hear this interview because I was going to play it on Saturday. I played pieces of it in the newscast on Election Day, but far from, I only played like a couple of minutes of it. And it's an interesting interview. And yesterday I was going to edit it, take out all the Election Day stuff, and then run it. But I got listening to it, and it was so interesting. But I thought, you know what? I'm going to air the whole thing so you can so everybody can hear the conversation, because frankly, he was very interesting and very friendly. And as I said, he rarely does any interviews with media.
Okay.
And so I thought, well, you know, there's a lot of people that listen to Al back in the day who are among our listeners that they would probably enjoy hearing that. So I'm going to air that a little bit later on. And we're going to have another visit with the Right Reverend Stumpy Carter from the First Church on the Right in Yatahe, New Mexico. From what I understand, he's upset.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to check in on the Right Reverend Stumpy a little bit later on. So the other big news that we have to announce here on the Blue State Diner today is the fact that next week I'm going to actually be taking the day off, it being the Michigan game, and Roy Turner is going to be the guest host of the Blue State Diner. Roy, are you getting all ready for that?
I am getting ready. I've been, since you told me the news, I've been preparing, and everything's off and running, so I'm ready to do a good job.
Again. Any previews that you can?
Well, we got some people from WCRS coming up. Going to talk more about their radio station, their business.
Now, normally I frown upon such things, talking about other radio stations. But in this case, I think we'll let it slide.
Okay.
They're here in the building with us. We're friends with them. I think we're all friends in this boat.
Yeah.
So, and any surprises?
You know what? The surprise is a surprise to me now, so I don't know.
All right. Well, listen, last night, I was flicking through the program guide,
okay,
and I saw on Turner Classic Movies that Lawrence of Arabia was on, and so it's a tremendous film, and have you ever seen it?
No.
There's a phone call coming through here, Roy. Can you grab that?
Sure.
While I talk about Lawrence of Arabia real quick, it is a fabulous film, and it's from, it was 50 years old. It was released in 1962, and is that Brad?
Yes, it is.
Well, let's go ahead and bring Brad into the conversation. Brad Friedman, how you doing?
Hey, good morning, Michael. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. How you doing? We got lovely weather here. How is it where you are? You're in Southern California.
I'm in Southern California, so it's always lovely weather here.
Yeah.
But so if you guys are having dandelions blooming in November, well, yeah, nothing to worry about at all, right?
Yeah, no worries. There's no such thing as climate change going on.
You know, this is one of the downsides of climate change, of global warming. You know, we had last year was the year without a winter. Problem is, a lot of people kind of like it. It's kind of nice in places like Columbus this time of year, and it probably shouldn't be.
It's so weird. It is so weird. And I mean, normally, you know, for many years, Brad, I was a sports reporter,
mm-hmm.
and many years that I did that, there was always a time that I had to wear hand warmers, and I would put the chemical hand warmers they market for, like, campers and stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I would put them in my shoes and in my gloves, covering high school football.
Yep.
Okay, now we're currently at the point of the regional championships,
mm-hmm.
in Ohio, which means we're in week 12. Okay, and many times in the past, I'd be talking about week 7.
Yeah.
Wearing my gloves and my scarf and my hand warmers to cover high school football, but there was nothing like that this year.
You know what? I know, and it's quite troubling. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri, originally, so a similar neck of the woods,
sure.
And similarly horrible winters. And now, you know, I talked to my family last year and again this year, and they're like, "Oh, this is beautiful. We're out playing golf in December." And, you know, this is a real problem because...
But nothing to worry about.
I think a lot of people will go, well, you know what? okay, maybe this global warming thing isn't a hoax, but it's great. So yeah. What's the problem?
Yeah, what's
well,
the problem?
Know, that's somewhat short-sighted, but you know, I think there's a lot of people who probably feel that way, and it's not helping, I'm
afraid.
Well,
like Rush Limbaugh, for example, who once famously said, when he has a glass of ice water and the ice melts, the level of the water doesn't go over the rim of the glass.
Oh, my God.
Not understanding, of course, that much of the world's ice is actually on land and not in the glass.
Right. Floating on top of the water.
Right.
And on top of the land, yeah. Well, of course, you know, if you're going to use the Rush Limbaugh standard for anything, you know, he's an idiot. So you don't want to start there with your low bar, do you?
No, I don't. No, I just anecdotal stuff, Brad. So, hey, Brad, the main reason I wanted to have you on today was to welcome you to the WVKO family. You and Desi doing a great job on Green News Report. Tell us about the genesis of the Green News Report and what you go through. I notice, by the way, that Des does most of the heavy lifting on that thing.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm just coasting on that. I'm only there for the snarky comment. She's the one who really knows what the hell's going on. And first, yeah, thanks. Great to be on WVKO. Delighted to have the Green News Report out there. And, yeah, well, we started about... Well, I'm thinking about 3 years ago now. Might have been more. Might have been four. We might be going on 4 years at this point. But it actually started when I was sitting in guest hosting up on the old Green 960 up in San Francisco. And they had just become Green 960. Prior to that, they were called The Quake. And I was sitting in doing afternoon drive time for the regular host there, and they had just changed over to Green 960, and Desi had always been, you know, big into green news and wanting to do more of that stuff at bradblog.com, and so I thought, all right, well, this station is now called Green 960, let's do some green news in the afternoon. Des, you know, you bring in your green news and tell us what's going on, and we'll talk about it, and I'll probably wisecrack about it. Well, this became one of the most popular segments we were doing on Green 960 that week, and then when I started sitting in on, you know, when I was on other people's shows, I'm the regular guest host for Mike Malloy, for example. By the way, I'll be sitting in for him next week. But people, you know, they loved this segment, so we thought, well, what the heck? Let's start doing it as a podcast and releasing it to radio stations so they can run it in a nice 6-minute bite instead of the top of the hour news. Because, you know, these are, and as you know, if you've heard of the Green News Report, these are really important issues.
Absolutely.
That just
absolutely.
Don't make it onto the mainstream media frequently enough. So we said, you know what, as usual, as we do at BradBlog, if the mainstream corporate media ain't going to do it, we will. So that's why we started doing it, and we've tried to do it in a way that is not, you know, what you would relegate to, you know, weekend NPR.
Like the business report or something dry like that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
trying
you guys
to make these difficult topics, hopefully, somewhat both informative and kind of amusing and fun at the same time.
Well, that's the key, Brad. I think it's fun to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's appealing about it. It is fun to listen to.
Thank you. I hope so. That's our goal. You know, we don't always succeed, you know, because sometimes a lot of this news is, you know, pretty
depressing.
Disturbing, pretty upsetting. But you got to find a way to make it accessible to the listeners. And, you know, that's why I'm around. I'm the snarky comment person.
Yeah, that was just going to say, you're the snark in it all. And
exactly.
And I like that.
Well, you know, I try to be sort of the everyman in a sense. You know, she comes in with the actual, you know, as we like to say, she comes in with the actual news, and I heckle her.
But yeah,
you know, I heckle her with you know the questions and the thoughts that I think
the painfully
people
obvious
have when they hear this stuff. When they you know when they wonder. For example, we had you know this week a story about this BP settlement, the largest settlement in history.
And it got buried in the news.
It got buried in the news, but even when it didn't, you know, what people heard was, oh, the largest criminal settlement of all time. Well, then that's great. There's finally some justice.
Yeah, but it was peanuts.
Well, it was nothing. It was nothing. It, you know, the DOJ loves to say it was the largest criminal settlement ever, but it was nothing. It was $4.5 billion. They made more than, BP profited more than that in just the last 3 months alone.
And so I was just going to say they blow their nose and more than that comes out.
It's true. And what really actually caught my attention here was, you know, they love to say that the company pled guilty to 11 counts of manslaughter because, you know, there was 11 men killed on that day.
And I know what you're going to say because I listened to it. It's like, okay, who goes to jail for that?
That's the thing.
That's the thing. I mean, who do you send to jail for that?
Nobody goes to jail. And so when you say that, oh, they pled guilty to manslaughter, geez, I wish I could plead guilty to manslaughter and never go to jail. So this notion that corporations are people
is a bunch of malarkey, to paraphrase Joe Biden.
Yeah, exactly right. And it's, you know, and it's maddening. So, you know, most of the media, if they covered it, you know, the top headline is largest settlement in criminal history, 11 charges of manslaughter. But nobody, the real story is that largest settlement is nothing. Nobody went to jail. And in the end, I guess it was totally worth it for BP to run this operation the way they did, because if it all went south, if it fell apart, if they killed a few men, you know what? No big thing. We'll just cop a plea, throw out a few billion dollars,
and drill, and we'll baby, drill, and continue to drill, baby, drill.
That's it. And you know that $4.5 million. By the way, that's payable over the next 5 years.
Oh, so then it's less than what they blow their nose with.
Exactly. So you know it's pretty appalling, and this happens on the same day. By the way, we had another rig fire in the Gulf in shallow water off Louisiana. And right now, there's two men missing from that rig. It's been 24 hours. I suspect those two men are going to be lost.
Well, I'll just give them another $1 billion and be on with it.
And everything will be fine.
Yeah.
Hey,
so Brad, we're still actually not sure of the true results as a result of that leak. I mean, there's still talking about the consequences of what happened. I mean, they're still studying it, and they still don't know for sure of the long-term ramifications. Am I right?
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, when you say they, you're talking about the scientists.
Yes.
You're talking about the people in the Gulf whose livelihood depends on this.
Yes.
You know, the shrimpers who are finding that the effects from this spill have not just gone away in one generation of shrimp, but have actually been passed down several generations at this point. Yeah, those people are still concerned. Those people are still looking at it. The media, however, are more concerned with, Petraeus and sex scandals and stuff that actually doesn't matter to
As a matter of fact, that's how the VP settlement got buried in the news, was a result of the Petraeus sex scandal.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so those are priorities in this country. You know, in the meantime, you've got dandelions blooming in Columbus in November.
Right.
You know, and we're worried about who General Petraeus was sleeping with.
Was diddling, yeah.
Our priorities are so out of whack. So if Desi and I can in any way on the Green News Report try to, you know, restructure those priorities a little bit, try to get out onto the public airwaves, and, you know, you can podcast the Green News Report at iTunes and so forth, but, you know, I just consider our public airwaves to be so important, and that's where, you know, the majority of people still get their news going to and from work and so forth. So that's where we are with the Green News Report. As long as we can keep doing it, as long as we have great affiliates like the WVKO picking it up and helping to spread the word, and we just couldn't be more thankful for that, Mike.
And by the way, I just want to let people know that it's Tuesday and Thursday in the 6 o'clock news block.
Mm-hmm.
And this week we had to put it in the 7 o'clock block. That was before Brad and Dez knew that we wanted to run it in the 6 o'clock block, but they're on California time. But that's where we intend to run it, Tuesdays and Thursdays, in the 6 p.m. News block. And, Brad, there's something else I wanted to talk to you about, and that is, you remember a couple weeks ago, we had the live Turn Up the Night show here on WVKO with Kenny Pick and his group, and you and I got into a discussion that night, and that was about what was going on in Ohio with voter suppression and tabulation manipulation. And I wanted to thank you for staying on top of that story, and obviously a story that was unearthed by Bob Fetrakis, my good friend Bob Fetrakis, and Jerry Bello at the Free Press. And thank you for taking that story to, far and wide. I know that you were on a number of radio programs, national radio programs. I believe you were on Ed Schultz and a couple of others talking about that. It was important to get that story out. What do you make of how the rest of the media dealt with that information, Brad?
Well, you know, as usual, this is one of those stories that the media, they simply don't understand. They haven't understood it for 10 years. They haven't understood the concerns about electronic voting machines, electronic tabulators, privatized voting systems like we have right now in all 50 states. And great credit, by the way, as you mentioned, to Bob Fetrakis of Free Press, not only of Free Press, but of WVKO. I was enjoying listening to him just before this show. I've known Fetrakis going back about a decade now, because it seems like every election, certainly every presidential election, we have to dip into stories like this and try to make sense of them for the world when the mainstream media just doesn't get it. A lot of folks, not only in the corporate mainstream media, but even folks in the progressive media came out when they heard about the fact that Ohio Secretary of State John Husted is installing secret uncertified software in up to 39 different counties. I think he's admitted to installing it on 25 counties in Ohio, the most populous counties, just days before the election. Nobody has tested it. Nobody knows what the software does. It's put right onto the tabulator systems, the central database where all the votes are stored. Nobody has certified the software. This software can do anything. Now, who knows what it did do, what it was supposed to do? We can't know because, A, nobody tested it, but, B, the software is made by a private company that you and me and the people who rely on these tabulators on election night, these central tabulators, we're not even allowed to look at it because it's proprietary software.
Right.
This is insane. This is incredibly troubling. And folks in the media just didn't get it. They were like, there's nothing to worry about. These towns, they all use paper ballots. So if there's any questions about the results, we can go back and count the paper ballots. Well, I would have two answers to that. Since when do we ever go back and look at the paper ballot?
Right.
Once the elections are called on election night, that's pretty much it. It's incredibly rare that anybody bothers to go back to look at the paper ballots.
I can't recall it in my lifetime that after it's called, that's it, baby.
Well, the one time we tried to was certainly back in Ohio,
right,
in 2004,
right,
and when the Green Party and the Libertarian Party stepped up where John Kerry and the Democrats would not, and the Greens and Libertarians asked for a recount of the presidential election. Well, what happened there? Well, one thing that happened in Cuyahoga County, the largest county in Ohio, two top election officials there were sentenced to the maximum in prison because they gamed the recount. They actually, Ohio recount law at the time, and I don't know if it still works the same way or not, but at the time, a recount meant that you would count 3% of the ballots by hand, a random 3% of precincts, and if they didn't match, then you would do a full hand count of the entire county. Well, these two election officials pre-counted the counties and then pretended to select random counties. And so what do you know? They found out that all of the ballots matched up perfectly. Well, of course they did, because they chose the night before which counties they were going to, which precincts they were going to count, and they made sure that they were counties that matched up with the results that they had put out on election night. And, of course, those officials were sentenced to jail. the top official in Cuyahoga County. He was eventually fired. Unfortunately, by the way, we've got him now out here in California.
Huh.
So in down in San Diego, so I guess you can't screw up enough as an election official that you won't be hired again elsewhere. But beyond that, there was a case that was brought that, again, Bob Fitrakis was a part of to challenge the results in 2004. A federal judge ordered that all 88 counties in Ohio retain their paper ballots, the ones, you know, that were supposed to be able to go back and count if there's any question about the results. Well, 56 out of 88 counties destroyed some or all of their ballots despite that federal court order. So nobody was ever able to go back and count them. There was a question about the results, obviously, in 2004, but we never got to get an answer on them because they destroyed those paper ballots. So that's the problem. That's why you need to get it right on election night. You don't rely on this idea that, well, if there's any question, we can go back and count them on paper later. That doesn't happen. And by the way, if you want to make sure there's no question about the election, and if you have access to the tabulators, just make sure the numbers reported by the computer are not close enough that anybody thinks there could possibly be a problem, and you're done, you know?
Right. So I'm guessing, Brad, that you're familiar with Bob's book, What Happened in Ohio. He wrote that along with another good friend of mine, Harvey Wasserman.
Yeah.
And Stephen Rosenfeld. You are familiar with that book.
I am indeed. And by the way, Stephen Rosenfeld was one of those people who came out and said, oh, don't. And you know, he had done, Rosenfeld had done great work with Bob Fitrakis and Harvey Wasserman for years from the 2004 election. And then Rosenfeld came out in this last election over at Alternate and said, oh, there's nothing to worry about. Don't listen to those conspiracy theorists like Brad Friedman and Bob Fitrakis. We can always go back to the paper ballots. And Rosenfeld, of all people,
really,
ought to know that we can't.
Wow, that's
incredible.
Because
he was right there reporting on 2004.
Well,
I don't get it with some of these progressives.
Brad, you people with your tinfoil hats, man, I don't know what to make of you. Facts and stuff. That's it. And let me tell you a little story, Brad. If it was not Election Day, it was the day before. I don't remember, but I talked to John Kerry,
mm-hmm.
And I asked John Kerry. And by the way, it must have been Election Day because it was the day that Bob had taken John Husted to federal court and then state court over the patch. Trying to stop the patch usage, as you explained, these untested, that had come under no scrutiny whatsoever from anyone,
mm-hmm.
Software that we had no idea what it would do. But I talked to John Kerry.
John Kerry,
the senator,
not ringing a bell. Who would that be?
The guy who ran for president in 2004 on the Democratic ticket.
I remember him, the one who didn't ask for a recount, the one who capitulated the next day, who didn't bother to even wait until all the votes were counted before he quit. I remember that guy.
So I asked him if he knew about this book, What Happened in Ohio. He said yes, he was aware of it, but hadn't read it. And I thought, mm-hmm. if you, John Kerry, are aware of this book, why the hell haven't you read it? I didn't put it to him that way, but I did ask him about, I urged him to go to the Free Press website to read the story about the daggone patch, and
uh-huh.
he assured me he would do that. But the point I want to make here is, and I want to see how you react to it, is it seems like high-level Democrats kind of turn their heads the other way on this issue, and were unwilling to confront it. Did you have similar experiences?
Oh yeah, I mean that has been the case for years. Even with John Kerry, Mark Crispin Miller, who wrote a book some years ago on election concerns about 2004, he handed a copy of that book to John Kerry personally. And Mark Crispin Miller is a media professor at NYU. He handed a copy of the book to him personally. Said, Senator, I believe you were robbed in 2004. And John Kerry reportedly said back to him, yeah, I know, I agree. And Mark went out and reported that little conversation.
I think that was in. I saw something in Jesse Ventura's book about that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They did cover it there, and he said. So Mark reported it, and then John Kerry's people came out and said, "Oh no, that didn't happen at all. That's not the way the conversation went. Mark Christopher Miller is just making that up, basically calling him a liar."
Wow.
I guess we won't ever know who actually told the truth there. I have no reason to not believe Mark Crispin Miller. I've known him for years, and I can't even imagine that he would make something up like that. But the point is, yeah, Democrats, I don't understand why. I have some guesses that I can offer, but in general, you know, they don't challenge elections. They don't want to question elections for a number of reasons. But I think largely it's because they are afraid of being called sore losers and, you know, conspiracy theorists when they question elections. Now, when Republicans get screwed in these elections,
which is rarely.
Well, you know what? We're seeing one of them right now getting completely screwed by the voting machines, believe it or not. And he's about as far right as you can get. This is Congressman Alan West down in Florida.
Yeah.
And, you know, when this stuff happens to them, they have no fear about going balls to the wall to fight to make sure that they get, you know, whether it's a full count, a transparent hand count, to question the way. They're not afraid of being called names. They're not, you know, afraid of being called conspiracy theorists. You remember Norm Coleman after 2008?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Went 6 months
challenging that election against Merrill Franken. It was 8 months, and I talked to Al about that in the conversation that I'm going to have with him here in a few minutes. As a matter of fact, Brad, we're overdue for a break, but I want to ask you one last question before we let you go. You know, Bob and I have talked a number of times since the election about what happened here in Ohio this time around, and we have kind of come up with a theory that John Husted more or less got cold feet and didn't pull the trigger for Karl Rove, which led to Karl Rove's meltdown on Fox News the night of the election. Do you have any theories?
I try generally to stay away from speculation, although it is kind of fun to jump into now and again, and I'm sure it'll come up this week on Mike Malloy's show, which I think I mentioned I'm guest hosting this week, so I'm sure I'll talk about it. But in general, you know, even if, as you're speculating, as Bob is speculating, that this software that was implanted on these Ohio machines, there's no question about that, we've got the contract on that, even if that was meant to flip votes, and Karl Rove had expected those votes to be flipped at the proper time. We saw the Secretary of State's results website, go down again on election night this year, just as we did in 2004. Even if Karl Rove was expecting that to happen and John Husted had planned that to happen, the fact was, right around that time of night, the results for both, I believe it was Virginia and Colorado, came in, putting Obama over the 270 mark for electoral votes.
Right.
And even if they had flipped Ohio,
it wouldn't have made any difference.
Enough.
Yes. Yes. I think that was the great irony.
So you give him too much credit to say it was cold feet. The fact is, even if he had done it, it wouldn't have gotten him anywhere. So they were kind of screwed. No matter what, even if the scenario you're mentioning was actually in place.
All right, Brad Friedman, thanks for being with us here today. We are overdue for a break. Thanks a lot. I hope to be talking to you sometime again in the future.
Great to be here, Michael. Thanks for everything, and hope to talk to you soon.
All right, take care, Brad Friedman and Roy Turner. We got to go to a break, buddy.
More of the Blue State Diner coming up after these brief messages.
Do you get anxious just thinking about going to the dentist? The Gentle Dentist in Worthington understands. Founded by Dr. Bill Coleman, the Gentle Dentist is dedicated to the care of the apprehensive dental patient and is committed to providing the highest quality dental care in a relaxed and enjoyable environment. The Gentle Dentist offers cable TV, DVD players, and massage chairs in every treatment room. They use the latest technology to give you that beautiful smile you deserve, including Invisalign, the virtually invisible way to straighten your teeth. The highest quality dental care in a relaxed and enjoyable environment. The Gentle Dentist, voted the number one dental office in Central Ohio by Columbus Parents Magazine. 2 years in a row. Visit them in Worthington, just south of 270. Call today, 614-431-3311, or visit them online at ColemanDental.com. That's ColemanDental.com. Call today, 614-431-3311. The Gentle Dentist. Exceptional service, remarkably gentle.
A Woman's Touch Tree Care.
Timber!
The ash borer is wreaking havoc on yards all over Central Ohio, and they have to come down. Are you in need of quality tree care? Then we know who to call. A Woman's Touch Tree Care. They can handle it all. Tree removal, thinning, deadwooding, brush cleanup, stump grinding, storm damage, trimming, shrub care, and just about anything you need done for landscape management. See what A Woman's Touch can bring to your tree care. Randy Mobley, proud owner of A Woman's Touch Tree Care, brings quality service, quick response, and very reasonable rates to the business of tree care and landscape management. Here's what one satisfied customer has to say.
I called several companies to schedule estimates, and half of them didn't even return my calls. Brandy Mobley called me back the same day. She was thorough in her estimate, and it was very reasonable. She explained ways that I could save money on the removal. Her honesty was greatly appreciated.
Ever wonder what A Woman's Touch can do for a tree service company? Let Brandy show you. Call 614-732-1061 to schedule your free estimate. That's 614-732-1061.
Be sure to thank those businesses for paying the bill here at Blue State Diner. Now back to your server, Michael Allwood.
All righty, Rick. As promised, I was going to let you hear the conversation I had with Al Franken. Once again, this was on Election Day, but I never got a chance to share it with you. So here it is now. All right, joining me now by phone, Senator from the great state of Minnesota, Al Franken. Senator, I understand that you have an important message for WVKO listeners.
Yes, there's an election today, and you should vote. And the polls close at 7:30, but if you get in line by 7:30, they have to let you vote. So make sure you vote. And I would prefer that you vote for Barack Obama and Sherrod Brown.
Well, we would prefer that too, Senator.
Oh, good. Well, and then I even more important that your listeners get out and vote, because it sounds like your listeners tend to believe in the same things we do, which is that we need a strong middle class, that our economy works from the bottom or middle and middle up, and not from the top down, and that's what Barack Obama is about, that's what Sherrod Brown's about, and it's really incredibly important what happens in Ohio. I won my Senate seat in a very, very close election. I won by 312 votes. So I don't want anybody in your listening audience saying to themselves tomorrow, oh, you know what, I wish I had gotten up and voted.
Right, and I remember that election and how long it took for that thing to finally be decided. It took about more than a month, didn't it?
It took 8 months. 8 months. I was seated July 7th. So from the date of the election, which was, I guess, November 4th, to the time I was seated was 8 months. And but we did it. It was done very, very, in a very Minnesota way. Every vote was counted, hand counted. I won the recount, the first recount, and that was the only recount, really. But every vote was counted by hand, and then there were votes that were challenged. And I won that in January, early January. And then we had legal proceedings that really lasted all the way till July until the Supreme Court of Minnesota ruled in my favor, and then it all, then I got seated. So it is absolutely crucial that every one of your listeners get out there and vote.
And we have been stressing the down ticket as well, Senator, and we have issues also, and so we have been encouraging people to go all the way through their ballot. I'm sure you share that view.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't know your candidates, but, you know, other than I know Sherrod very, very well. He's one of our great senators. He is the fighter for working people. He fights for Ohio. And he's just a good guy. And so I know Sherrod's going to win. I'm quite positive of that. And I'm almost as sure that Obama's going to win. But I just need your listeners to make that commitment that, you know, it's get out there, and it's a good experience.
All right, Senator.
I think. I'm, you know, it is here in Minnesota. But, you know, you might want to take something to read.
Right, yeah.
I don't want to scare people away. Don't take something to read. Take something to eat.
There you go. Make it a more enjoyable experience. Senator, by the way, I just wanted to tell you that I'm I feel very privileged to be having this conversation, because I understand that although you are a pioneer in progressive radio, that you don't do many interviews with radio shows. I'm just very pleased to be able to talk to you. I think you're one of the smartest people in the Senate. And there's one thing I really want to ask you about, and that is somebody posted something on our Facebook page the other day, and I believe it was one of your hand-drawn maps of the United States. And I can remember years ago seeing you, many, many years ago, on one of the talk shows. I think it might have been Letterman.
I think it was Letterman, yeah.
And you did it. And for those listening who don't know what I'm talking about, the senator can draw a very accurate map of the United States free-handed and filling in all the states. And where did you accumulate such an unusual talent?
Well, this is what happened. I lost a bar bet in college. Someone said to me, I bet you can't name all 50 states. And of course I said, of course I can. I'm an American. And I started with Alabama, and then I went to Alaska, and then there, you know, Arizona and Arkansas, etc. And at the end I had 49 states. And I just couldn't figure out what I'd left out. So I lost the bet. And I just said to myself, I am not going to lose that bet again. And so I said, if I draw the map, I can't leave a state out. And my parents, when I was a little kid, had given me, you know, I had to play with a wood map of the United States. Every state was, I mean, Rhode Island was a little state. It was a great map. And so I had it kind of visualized in my head and used to play with that all the time. So it's become my doodle. And what was funny is I would only do the lower 48, I would not do Alaska and Hawaii until I actually got into the Senate. We had a party. I drew one at the party, and Mark Begich from Alaska took great umbrage that I had not included Alaska and Hawaii. And he was from Alaska, and our president's from Hawaii. I figured I'd add those, and those aren't terribly hard to draw, and then you put a little thing around them to show that they're not to scale. Put them in a box.
Right.
And but I'm actually always been fascinated just by geography, and it's incredibly impressive, I will say, when you look at it, because this is something you look at every day. You see that map every day a number of times, and I got it. I know I can do it, and I can do it pretty accurately. But it's really just like, you know, it's just a parlor trick. It's just like juggling, you know. People can get really good at juggling if they juggle a lot. And this is my doodle. During hearings sometimes, I just draw it while I'm listening.
Well, actually, I can juggle, but I can't draw that map. But it's a pretty cool
thing. I can't juggle, so there.
Now, Senator, this is a question I wanted to ask you since you took office. Do you sometimes feel like you're the smartest guy in the room?
No. There are some. No, I don't. I feel like I'm one of the smartest guys. But no, there's some really, really smart senators, and Sherrod, by the way, is one of them.
He's a great guy.
He really is. Yeah, no, Sherrod's one. I mean, I don't want to go through the list of I don't want to rank
right.
my colleagues in terms of intelligence. And there's different kinds of intelligence. What you find out, for the most part, is that people became senator for a reason, you know, and there's something to learn from almost everybody in the Senate. And so I try to take that sort of more generous approach to my colleagues. And believe me, there are some really, really smart men and women there.
And I'm hearing a siren behind you. And the other thing is that every time I happen to catch any of the Senate proceedings, I keep expecting to see you pull out your old slide whistle. That you
well,
on the radio
we did
show.
Do a slide whistle on the radio, and that was because radio is not a visual medium. I tried to do charts with a slide whistle to indicate ups and downs. Thank you for remembering.
Yes, well, I mean, I was a pretty loyal listener. So obviously I've been committed to progressive.
It was a good show, wasn't it?
It was a good show. I mean, you talked about things that really nobody else talked about a lot of times these days, especially during campaigns. All the talkers are talking about the same things.
I really like to talk about substance, and so we talked about Elizabeth Warren used to be a frequent guest on my show because we talked about middle class issues. And things like consumer protection and bankruptcy and the middle class squeeze, and she was one of the real pioneers in sort of identifying, defining what middle class squeeze was. And that's why I'm so looking forward to serving with her. And, I mean, I'll have someone there who's smarter than me. it's a real privilege to serve in the Senate.
And do you think that's going well for her? I mean, she would make a tremendous senator.
Yes, I think it is going well for her. I think it's going to be close. I think she's going to win.
And you're right. She's about as sharp as they come. I have seen her many times and heard her many times. She's really, and she's very impassioned.
She really is passionate. And, I'm going to be looking forward to having her intellect, but her passion and her energy and her wisdom there. And she's a great, I really like Elizabeth tremendously. And she's a great radio guest. She was a great guest on our show, and she's going to make a great senator. Of course, she was one who created the Consumer Financial Protection Board under Dodd-Frank, which I think was a great achievement. So the Republicans blocked her from being the director of that. So guess what? She's going to be in the Senate with them.
Well, cool. Senator, I know that that your time is limited, but if you will, I'm going to air the latter part of this interview on our special, re-air it on our special election coverage tonight on Turn Up the Night here on WVKO. So if you would, could you give a shout-out to Kenny Pick and his co-host, Matt Tom and Deba, and also Pete.
Okay, except I'm going to have to write those down because that's too many.
Kenny Pick?
Kenny Pick.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm writing these down now.
Okay.
Kenny Pick.
Deba?
Deba?
Deba, yeah.
Deba.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Matt Emmer?
Matt Emmer, I got it.
And Tom Schaefer.
And Tom Schaefer, okay, there we go. Okay, let me do this now. Hey, this is Al Franken. Give me a shout out to Kenny, the Pick. Now, let's try that again. Hi, this is Al Franken. Give me a shout out to Kenny Pick, to Deba, to Matt Emmer, and of course to Tom Schneider.
Schaefer.
I can't read my own damn writing. Okay, let's try this again. Hey, Sal Franken giving a shout out to Kenny Pick, to Deba, to Matt Emmer, and Tom Schaefer. Check it out.
All right.
Okay.
All right, Senator, best of luck to you. Best of luck to all of us.
You bet.
I think it's going to be a long night.
Well, let's hope it's a good night.
Yeah.
And that would happen with all your listeners, of course, voting.
Okay. All right.
Okay,
thanks again.
Yeah. both stay open until 7:30.
Right.
Stay in line.
All right.
If you
thank
get
you,
there
Senator.
At 7:30 and there's a line, okay?
All right. Take care.
Okay. Thanks, Michael.
All
bye.
Right, thank you.
More of the Blue State Diner coming up after these brief messages.
If you are in need of design and printing services, there are plenty of places you can go. In fact, there are about 200 in the Columbus area alone. But of course, they're not all the same. Our Design and Printing is a local, independently owned company that specializes in professional graphics design. And they offer a full range of printing services. Full color printing, posters, business cards, flyers, postcards, invoices, carbonless forms, letterhead, and envelopes. You can count on our Design and Printing for fast turnaround and reasonable prices. Just off High Street in the Short North at 30 East 4th Avenue, across from the post office. And our Design and Printing has plenty of convenient free parking, too. Call Julie or Dave at 299-1420, that's 299-1420, for your local, independently owned progressive graphics design and printing company, Our Design and Printing. Visit them online at rdesignandprinting.com. That's the letter R, designandprinting.com.
We're back in the Blue State Diner. Here once again, your host, Michael Allwood.
Just enough time for us to check in with Reverend Stumpy Carter. We have to find him.
I searched the world over and I thought I found true love. You met another and you was.
That ain't it.
Does your chewing gum lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight? If your mother says don't.
You need a little bit of soul to see it through.
My heart is so very heavy. First off, I want to apologize for not having been here last week because I was so distraught over the results of the election, which you very well know did not go according to the Lord. That Barack Obama was re-elected, and I still don't understand how it happened. I'm so very distraught and upset over it. And I'll tell you, I just don't know if I can go on, but I must. And I will tell you, I'm heartened by a few things that have happened since that time. A couple weeks ago, when this nation blindly re-elected Barack Hussein Obama. And why it happened, I don't know to this day. I've been asking myself, I've been asking the Lord, and the Lord has not responded. I can only guess how it happened. I suspect there was much trouble and strife, and there were many things that happened that we will never know about. But I am heartened. I've talked to my cousin Jumpy Carter in Texas, and if I'm pleased about one thing, it is the fact that there is a movement afoot in this country. There is a movement afoot in Texas. Texas is a lovely place. I've never cared for it much myself. It is, it's a fine place. It's just the fact that it is, well, it's, there's no other way to put it. It is crawling with Texicans. And that's all there is to it. There's a whole bunch of Texicans who live in Texas. And that's why I don't care to visit there very often. But anyway, in Texas, they have started a movement to secede from the Union, and I wholeheartedly, I think it's the right thing to do. I think it's the right thing to do. What else is there for it? I understand that there are movements in other states to secede from the Union also. Indiana, I heard, is thinking about seceding from the Union. One guesses, if they secede from the Union, they will also secede from the Big Ten Conference, which would mean that the Indiana basketball team would no longer compete in the Big Ten. I don't know if that's what would happen, but one would guess that would be what would happen. I hear that Florida, there's people down in Florida also talking about seceding from the Union. I think it's the right thing to do. I don't know about you. I don't know if New Mexico wants to secede from the Union. I'm not sure New Mexico has the will. They don't have any money. They don't have money. We don't produce no nothing. Tourism is the biggest moneymaker in New Mexico. So I'm not quite certain that seceding from the Union would be the proper thing to do for New Mexico, but for Texans and Indianers. Is that what you call them? People who is from Indiana? The Indianers? I don't know. Floridians, I know, is Floridians. They have comes in, they come in. Florida, tourism, probably their number one money-making item, what you call it. So I'm not so sure it'll be the best thing, but I hear that in many states there is a secession movement going on right now.